May we pray.
The eternal God, who crownest the year with thy goodness, we thank thee for the goodness of thyself made known to us in the work of this academic session. We thank thee for thy deliverance in times when we have been overborne with work, for thy sustaining grace when we have been anxious, for thy forgiveness when we have sinned against thee and against one another, for thy love which has led us day by day. And as we come to this hour, we give thee hearty thanks for the stewardship of life offered to thee in service, and pray that through the inspiration of this hour, we may renew ourselves for the work unto which thou hast called us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The hymn of the morning is number 176, Word of God Across the Ages. The lesson of the morning is responsive reading number 21, the title, Ideal Church Leader. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. May this strong word of God lay strong hold on our minds and spirits this day. In the year 1818, Daniel Webster was pleading a case before the Supreme Court of the United States. It was a case involving his college, his alma mater, Dartmouth. And with his matchless eloquence, Daniel Webster addressed Chief Justice John Marshall, and he spoke of his college, and he said, "It is, sir, as I have already said, a small college, and yet there are those who love it." And the historian records that the furrows in the face of Chief Justice Marshall tightened, and that tears were seen to flow from his eyes. Southeastern Seminary is not a small school, but it is a young school and a vigorous school, and there are those who love it. And we're here this morning to honor a colleague and a fellow student who has demonstrated his love for this school by 15 years of quiet, effective, daily work. We shall reap the benefits of his work in all the years which are to come. Apart from Mr. E.C. Osborne, there is one other man who more than anybody else has had a part in the development of our library. As professor, as dean, as president, Dr. Binkley has given priority to the development of the library. We are grateful for him, for his prior commitment to Jesus Christ, and for the way in which he manifests his love for this school by his unrelenting labor through these years. And it is appropriate that the president of the seminary should speak to us at this time. Dr. Binkley.
Although I do not deserve these very gracious words, I want to express my gratitude to the chairman of the library committee of the faculty for the service arranged today. Indeed, I want to express my gratitude to the chapel committee of the faculty for its consistent and diligent work throughout the session coming now to a close. I appreciate the opportunity to speak a few words of appreciation of Mr. E.C. Osborne. One of the essentials of excellence in theological education is an adequate library directed by a competent and dedicated librarian. On this occasion, we acknowledge with deepest gratitude the ministry of Professor E.C. Osborne in the development of the library on this campus and express unqualified confidence in Dr. Eugene McLeod, who has been elected librarian and assistant professor of bibliography effective August 1, 1967. You and I understand that theological librarianship is a valuable vocation. At its best, it requires the aptitudes and qualifications of a scholar, the skill and wisdom of an administrator, the diligence and devotion of a true servant of God. A distinguished leader in the American Theological Library Association has said that a librarian is an unusual creature when he is appropriately put together. He goes on to say, people come to us as librarians expecting to find a set of skills. They come for help of a very special kind. It is true that they are less likely to come or to come back again if we have a forbidding personality or a deadpan countenance, or if we are all a flutter, or if we are simply stuffed shirts. As librarians, we need to be endowed with charismatic grace. The personal encounter of librarian and reader should be pleasant, inviting, and helpful. This involves more than sentimentality and a pleasant disposition. There is no substitute for the command of information and the mastery of skills which enable one to turn to the job to be done and to do it with precision and dispatch. Scholarship and a knowledge of scholarly ways, a sound knowledge of books, special knowledge of special tools, bibliography, methodology, imagination, and judgment are the tools of our trade. The role of a librarian in a young theological seminary is very exacting in its demands. In addition to daily decisions which should be made with discrimination and utmost care, he is expected to provide leadership in laying the foundations of a library of books, reference works, journals, documents, and films to implement the teaching and learning process in a first-rate professional and graduate school. 15 years ago, Mr. Osborne was invited to undertake this task for the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Fortunately, he brought to the job thorough education and professional talents, tested in his work as librarian in several types of institutions of higher learning. He had earned the AB degree at Howard College, the THM degree at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, the BD degree at the Crozer Theological Seminary, and the basic degree in library science at the University of North Carolina. He had completed the residence requirements for the PhD degree at the University of Pennsylvania, and he had served in responsible positions in 4 different libraries. On November 10, 1952, Mr. Osborne began the process of cataloging in the library of the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. On that day, he discovered that the school owned 8,000 books, none of which had been cataloged, and we understand that from that day to this, he has not run out of work. I may add that I have no knowledge and assume no responsibility for what he has done on the golf course in recent years. On May 1, 1967, the library had 71,304 cataloged books, 12,041 volumes of periodicals, 2,189 cataloged pamphlets, 50,270 microcards, 2,238 volumes on microfilm, a total of 138,042 items. This is no mean achievement, but it is only a beginning. In the early years of the life of this school, the library committee of the faculty met weekly, and we remember the scope of the responsibilities to which Mr. Osborne devoted his energies. We recollect also his persistent and profound concern for an adequate library building, a professional staff, and a qualitative collection of scholarly materials related to the curriculum and to research in process by faculty and students. It is to be hoped that when he retires on July 31 of this year, he will remember not only the small room in the basement of the Appleby Building, in which he began the orderly process of cataloging the 8,000 books before him, but also the quality of the present collection, the new addition to the library building and its equipment, all of which have been acquired by an expenditure of $695,840, and to which he has devoted the most productive years of a fruitful life. If a purely personal word is not inappropriate, I should like to say that I and many others appreciate Mr. Osborne's professional competence, his unwavering loyalty to the school as a whole, his capacity for friendship, his prayers in faculty meetings and in chapel, and his participation in the search for a worthy successor. It is the intention of the faculty, administration, trustees, and alumni to seek additional resources to expand and to undergird the library on this campus to which he has devoted his intelligence and energy.
I want to ask President Binkley and Mr. Osborne to come and stand with me, please. President Binkley and Mr. Osborne, the Library Committee, recognizing that there would be ways in which the school would officially give mementos to Mr. and Mrs. Osborne for their years of service here, sought a way in which we might have a part in a continuing reminder of the devotion and the work of our friend. We made a proposal to the faculty that the faculty club endow a shelf in honor of Mr. Edwin Calhoun Osborne, librarian of this school, 1952 to 1967. My colleagues on the library committee, Professors Green, Hendricks, and Shriver, with the assistance of Dr. Donald Moore, the chairman of the faculty club committee, made this proposal in a letter to members of the faculty and the staff, and I'm happy to report today that because of the generous response of faculty and staff, we have cash and pledges in the amount of $1,000, which we ask the administration and the trustees to invest in perpetuity, the income from which will be used to purchase books in honor of Edwin C. Osborne, each book bearing an appropriate reminder of the fact that it is in honor of Mr. Osborne, and with the understanding that a plaque will be placed in the foyer of the library indicating this. Mr. Osborne, we desire to do this as a way of honoring you and of continuing to remember what you have done here. President Binkley, I'm happy to deliver to you a document which will indicate that this has been accomplished.
Dr. Bland, on behalf of the school, I accept with deep gratitude this very generous gift by the faculty and staff to endow a shelf in honor of Mr. Osborne. And Mr. Osborne, I should like to congratulate you upon this eloquent tribute of your colleagues to your faithful work on this campus. And if it is not inappropriate, Dr. Bland, I should like to express the hope that during the first 3 years of Dr. McLeod's tenure, a shelf in honor of every member of the faculty and administrative staff will be endowed by the friends of this school.
President Binkley, Dr. Bland, McLeod, faculty members, students, I can truthfully say that I was invited to come here for this occasion, and I believe the promise was made that I should not be required to make a speech. I shall try to carry out that promise. I have not words to express my gratitude nor my emotions at this moment. To say the least, I am deeply grateful for the opportunity and the privilege that has been mine during these near 15 years. I hope that I may know of the progress, the development, the enlargement of the library in the future. And I have wondered if a few quotations which came to mind would be inappropriate at this time. These are concerning books. Clarence Day said, "Books are the most remarkable creation of man. Nothing else he builds ever lasts." Happy is the man who has discovered books. He doesn't have to know all the answers because he knows where to find them. Whatever subject his curiosity may lead him to, there will be books that discuss it, debate it, explain it, illustrate it. For the man who has discovered books, there is an unending supply of information and inspiration for every need. Pity the man who has never discovered the wealth of books. Sometimes even the most devoted book lover forgets. Until he remembers, he is condemned to live in the poverty of ignorance. He must do without information he desperately needs. He makes mistakes he could easily have avoided. The same old thoughts run through his head when new ideas are everywhere around him. Books contain everything from telephone numbers to discussions of the most complex spiritual and philosophical questions. Want to know how to build a closet? The way to plant a maple tree? Some ideas for making your marriage more joyful? The best ways to discipline children? What to see in a painting, a good place to go on a vacation, what Jesus meant when he said, "How happy are those who know what sorrow means." What you can do to develop a genuine friendship with God, you will find what you want to know in books. Books are full of surprises. They often tell you more than you bargained for. Sometimes it's just interesting bits of information, and sometimes it's a complete new idea, something that never occurred to you before. Books can give you valuable new insights in old problems. They may even make you change your opinion. What is it you want to know, to think about? Discovery waits for you on the bookshelf. Discover. Good books. A good book is a wonder thing that sets the spirit traveling down strange, exciting ways and through new doors undreamed of hitherto. It opens vistas to the eyes where the happy far-off distance lies. It lifts the cares of every day when one is off and on his way. For, oh, indeed, a heart can roam through a good book, yet stay at home. A table, a lamp, a chair, and be absorbed in rhyme or mystery, absorbed in words upon a page. Oh, questioning youth, oh, seeking age, read books, good books. And you will find adventure. and a new world outline.
The president made mention of the fact that Mr. Osborne had played an important part in the transition from his leadership to that of his successor. We are happy that Dr. H. Eugene McLeod, the librarian-elect, is on the platform, and he will offer the benediction.
Will you stand with me, please? O God, make us faithful and grateful stewards of the fruits of the devoted service of Mr. Osborne. Let thy Holy Spirit fill this occasion with creative meaning for the ministries of each of us and for the community which we together are. As we go our separate ways at the end of a school year, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.